Go to John chapter 9. One of the things that prohibits a believer from believing God's word, one of the biggest enemies there are is fear. Fear has ruined more people's lives than probably anything I know. Fear of failure, fear of what other people think, sudden fear, 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 fear. And wherever and whenever we fear, in those particular areas, we can't believe God's word if we're afraid. If we're afraid of something, you have to stop drinking, Stephanie. If you're afraid of something, whatever that is that you're afraid of, while you're afraid, you can't believe God's word, you know, effectively. It's kind of prevents you from getting the job done of believing. And so many times, fear is the thing that is the least common denominator in those areas where we fall short. So it's good to be able to find out that which we're afraid of and then put the appropriate word there and just keep staying that word. You know, like what Michael taught yesterday was so great. Speaking the word to yourself, it really works. There have been countless incidents in my life as early as last week where I was shook, bugged, bothered. I don't know what was even wrong, to tell you the truth. It was just I was overwhelmed and I was swamped in my brain. And I got frustrated, and I realized I was frustrated, so I made myself go into my fellowship room, you know, where, I don't know, I guess most people call that a living room. I've never referred to that. But that's not a bad idea, living, yeah. I'm living. When I'm in that room, I'm living. So it's a living room. But I went in there, and I sat in the chair that I like to sit in there, and I just quietly just pushed my brain to think the word, and I practiced a stayed mind. I spoke the word of God to myself. And in about 5 minutes, there was a settling in my heart. There was almost an emptiness of everything bad. It was gone. I was peaceful again. And sometimes we need to take the time, and even if it took an hour, I would have taken the time because I didn't like the way I was feeling, and I knew that there was something that I could do about it. And what I could do about it was to focus my mind and my heart on God and His Word. And then it took away the frustration and it took away that overwhelming feeling that I had that I really even wasn't sure of what it was. But I knew what I needed to do and I did it. Sometimes this life moves so fast, it gets away from you and you just never take the time because you don't think you have it. Well, you do. What was that statement somebody made yesterday? I just remember the last time, you don't have time to live. What Michael said it.
You don't have time to read God's word, you don't have time to live.
Right, and really I didn't open the Bible and read God's word, but what I did was I quoted the scriptures to myself, which is the same thing basically. You're just thinking about exactly what's in the word. And did I say go to John 9? Yeah. That's good. You know, and believing God's word really helps build confidence in our lives. You know, the same thing, you know, I talk to people every day about life, about stuff, about things. And, you know, some of you younger people, you get frustrated with your identity, which, gosh, Aaron covered that. Forget about it. Just if her teaching was the only teaching this weekend, I'd have paid $1,000 for it. It's priceless. Joey, good gravy. Man, you sound like your dad. Jeez. But what was I saying before I rudely interrupted myself? Does anybody know? What? Oh, yeah, it's like, that was a little later, Alyssa, but nice. You know, it's like, the same things you guys get upset about really is the same things, for the most part, that us adults get upset about. It's not that much different. You know, and it's the same answers. You go to God's Word and you let it handle it. Fear just steals so much good in our lives. The fear of failure, the fear of being loved. Gosh, who here doesn't? I mean, you know, you could say, oh, I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, and I've heard people say that. And if they really meant that, I would consider them heartless bastards. I do care. I care. Not so much I'm going to compromise the word, but I care. I want people to like me. And that's not bad. I'm not going to compromise the word and go do things with people that are devilish so that they'll like me. But I want you to like me. I like you. Most of you. John chapter 9. God's word is what gives us that assurance, that confidence. And here is another record in the Gospel of John, kind of like the other night when we were reading the Gospels, of a great witness of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 1 says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." So this verse tells us that this man had a problem, and the problem that he had, that he was blind since the time he was born. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither." You know, and I love the, I tell you, people get down on the disciples or the apostles or whoever asked Jesus Christ these questions sometimes that appear to be dumb questions. I don't get down on them. They're people. They have questions. It's no big deal. Jesus didn't tell them all to jump off a roof. You know, he did address some of those questions sometimes in a vociferous manner, but, you know, he loved them. "Jesus answered, said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." Boy, Jesus Christ wasn't afraid to say who he was and what he had. It made me think of Aaron's teaching, you know. It says we're lights in the world now. Are you afraid to say it? Are you hiding it under a, what, I screwed that up the other night too. Book, basket, bushel of baskets, something. Ha, I'm the light of the world. That sounds kind of egotistical. Was he the light of the world? Yes. Then it wasn't egotistical. Are you righteous?
Yes.
Then it's not egotistical for you to tell somebody you're righteous. Not, because that's who you are. Identify with it. Deal with it, will you? "When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground." Oh, that's funny. You ever bring up a big hock to it, you know? You know. Well, now what am I going to do with it? I'll just swallow it. He spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Boy, oh boy. Joey mentioned it in his teaching, how quickly they followed and did what they were told according to what God wanted. Jesus Christ represented God perfectly in his, you know, when he was alive. He walked with God. There's people in this room who walk with God, and that's you. And sometimes you know something and you ask somebody to do something and it's of God, they ought to do it. This man had a need. You ever have people come to you with a problem? Or am I the only one? Maybe that's why I get so many calls. No, you know, you do. People, we have all have problems. So people come to you with the problem. And they say, "Here's my problem. I'm having a problem with blah, 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 blah. No, I need help." And you go, "Well, here's what God's word says. Blah, 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 blah." And they don't like the answer, and they go to somebody else somewhere else and says, "Here's my problem." Now, you just gave them the answer, but they go around and around and around until they get the answer that they want to hear. And sometimes that's not the right answer, but it's what they want to hear. Oh, please. This man had a problem. He was blind from his birth, from the time he was born. Here's Jesus Christ. I'm the light of the world. He spoke, he spat, he made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the man with clay and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, he followed. He followed. He listened and he did what he was told. So many people have an opportunity or a problem following. They make it a habit in their life not to follow anything or anybody. And then they wonder why maybe sometimes they don't get their prayers answered. I'll tell you why, because they're stubborn. Their way is better. Well, this guy listened. He went to the Pool of Siloam. Jesus Christ didn't have the problem. He could see. And he didn't make him go wash in the Pool of Siloam, but he did, and he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, verse 8, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, isn't this he that sat and begged? Well, the neighbors knew it was him. I don't even know why they posed a question. Some said, this is he. Others said, well, he's like him. But he said, hey, I'm me. Therefore said they unto him, how are your eyes opened? And I think that's a decent question. You know, he wasn't able to see. Now he can see. A good question would be, how'd that happen? That is you, isn't it? I am me, yes. And I'm looking at you. He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went, I washed, and I got sight. That's how it happened. A man named Jesus made mud pies on my eyes and told me to go wash the pool of Siloam. I went to pool of Siloam, I washed, and I'm looking at you right now. Kind of neat. Then said they unto him, well, where is he? And he said, I don't know. I never saw him. Well, he didn't. He never saw him. He didn't know where he was. This is called insight. I don't know. I don't know where he is. So, for some reason or another, this didn't please, his answer didn't please them enough. So they took him to church or wherever. They took him to the Pharisees. Him that aforetime was blind. They brought him to the Pharisees. Now they go to the religious people. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. It just seems that the Lord Jesus Christ did so many great things on the wrong day. And it really upset people. Can you imagine, man? You know, somebody asked the question, what are you afraid of? Or, you know, Michael yesterday had us write down all our sins or whatever. And, you know, if there was a real need in our lives, let's say I had a kid. Well, I do. And one of them had a real bad malady, you know, something bad in their life, really bad. And they came home, and all of a sudden, they were better. Oh, my gosh, do you think I'd bring them to Joe Armstrong, Steve Zalesi, Bob Chatton, you know, Michael Gilmore, Dean Mercado, Albert Pennon, and bring them before the council and say, what the heck? There's something wrong. I'd be so happy that my child was delivered. I wouldn't care if they jumped off a roof to get delivered. So they bring in the Pharisees, and it was the wrong day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. How did he receive his sight? He said unto them, he put clay, and boy, I love this man. His story gets shorter and shorter as he's irritated. He's healed, and it's the greatest day of his life. And it's like, you know, you see in the movies, it's like he's got the spotlight on him. Where were you? What time was it? Who was it? When? He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, I see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, well, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Golly, Pete, oh, man. This sends chills up my spine because I see people arguing about the stupidest stuff, and it makes the result of it is it ends up being division. I can't stand division, 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 division. Everywhere you go, there's division. I can't stand it. Not here. You guys are like-minded on God's word. Thank God for that. And they say unto the blind man again. Now they're going to ask him again. What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received their sight. Hey, hey, this shows you what a bad leader is. This shows you what a person who has, this is a bad leader. An overseer, a leader, an elder, a minister, whatever you want to call it, when somebody oversees something, they need to be very familiar with the people that they oversee. They can't be people that sit in their office all day and never see people. Do you think that these guys should have known that it was this guy who was blind? You think they might have paid that much attention to the people? Or were they too busy writing books? They didn't care. They didn't care about this guy. If they'd have cared about him, they'd have been praying for his deliverance. They'd have been praying that he could see someday. He'd been praying for the family. Yeah. So they call his parents of him that had received his sight. And they ask the parents, saying, is this your son? They should have known it was their son. They should have known that. Is this your son? Who you say was born blind, how then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that it's our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we don't know. He's of age, ask him, he'll speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the Gospels. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. This fear must have been a very deep fear that his parents had. They feared the Jews because the Jews said that if they believed in Christ, they'd be thrown out. And it's not like today, you know, you could be a Methodist one day, a Baptist the next day. You could go, you know, there's so many different organizations you could belong to, and they'll take you. Back then, if you were ostracized from the church, you were ostracized from that culture, you were ostracized from your, just everybody be giving you the evil eye all the time. So you can get down on the parents, and I understand that, but the reason they feared was because they'd be ostracized. They would be thought of in a very bad way. So much like some of you that have gotten in the Word, your parents, let's say, weren't in God's Word, and you weren't raised in God's Word like Joey and Aaron. You know, and you grow up, and you do whatever it is that you do, and you hang with whoever you hang, and then all of a sudden, one day somebody speaks God's word to you and it helps you. It changes your life and you get excited about it. And you go home and you tell your family and they go, what's wrong with you? Or you go and tell all your friends and they look down upon you. And the temptation there is not to say anything because you're kind of afraid maybe of what they think. This is much worse than that. This is being ostracized from society. I'm not excusing their fear. They shouldn't have feared. They should have been more than blessed that their son had his sight. But they were scared, and fear paralyzes people from doing. It prohibits people from doing what God's word says. It prohibits, in those areas, it prohibits them from being the best for God. And fear is just no fun. So he said, therefore, he's of age, asked him, verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind. These guys don't give up. And said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner. And this guy has just about had it. said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know if he's a sinner, but I'll tell you one thing I know. I was blind and I'm looking at you. I don't know. And you know, you might even add, I don't care. This guy didn't care. He was seeing. And sometimes spiritual understanding is possibly greater than seeing just with our earthly eyes. Boy, when you understand something for the first time in God's word, maybe something that's held us back from believing it, maybe some sort of fear, and we finally get it, we finally get it, we finally see it in the word, boy, there's just this weight that goes off of us. It's just like, it just leaves. Whether this man's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was blind and I see. Then said they unto him, what did he do? How did he open your eyes? Didn't he already answer him once? He said, I told you already. You didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Woo! You imagine? That's awesome. I told you once. If I tell you again, are you all of a sudden going to become his disciples? Oh, man, that must have pissed them off. And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fella, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto him, why, herein's a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. And yet he opened my eyes. I love this guy. What a man. What a man. He's a man who knew he was delivered. A man who knew he was healed. A man who knew that it happened. He didn't know all the ins and outs. He didn't even care. Why would you care? For us in our day and time, the word of God, that delivers us. Whether it's Aaron, Joey, Ashtray, any of us, whoever teaches God's word, man, our ears should just perk open. Golly. Now, you want a great relationship, say one day, with any human being, whether it's a friend, like a guy and a guy, or a girl and a girl friend, or a girl and a boy friend. The greatest relationship you could ever have is a relationship with God and his word at the center, at the forefront. Then the worst thing that could ever happen is you'll always be friends and you'll always have God's word at the center. That is the basis of that relationship. When you got that, you got it made in the shade, sipping lemonade. Gee willikers, that's great. Gee willikers, spell willikers. Yeah. This man, hearing's a marvelous thing. You know that from whence he is, and yet he opened my eyes, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he couldn't do anything. You want to talk about a witness? That's a witness, people. It's like I said the other day, night. Believing inspires believing in others, and it's sure, if you're healed, no matter if anybody believes you or not, you're healed and you want to tell people. I just heard Anna Eisenstein talk about how she got hurt the day before. I don't know if she said she got hurt. I got in on the end of it. But her leg was really screwed up and it got healed, right, Anna? Yeah. That inspired me. God did something for her. The old devil was monkeying with her the day she's going out to fellow light bearers or whatever this is called. Well, we are fellow light bearers. And, you know, screwing with her. Probably some of you got screwed with before you came too. It always happens. Something great's coming. The old adversary knows it's great. And, and you pick yourself up and say, okay, God, let's do your thing. Yeah. So If this man weren't of God, he could do nothing. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and doest, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Boy, that's loving and kind, isn't it? Who's your fellowship coordinator, Hannah?
Patty.
Oh, well, okay. No, Patty. You know, you go to Patty, you tell him you got healed or something, but you got healed at another fellowship or somebody else. You got healed by the Sugays in Knoxville, Tennessee, okay? You go to Patty, and Patty goes, no good thing can come out of Knoxville, you know? And then you share with them, you know, I was really screwed up, and now I'm better. And they're like, oh, no, this guy isn't of God, you know? We blah, 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 blah. And you go, well, are you kidding me? I'm healed. Patty goes, get out, never come back. Man. There wouldn't be, you'd still be healed. Patty'd be frustrated. Are you the type of person, when somebody gets healed, you go, I wished I would have ministered to them. Instead of going, geez, they're healed. Give me a break. Do you care if a Quaker in Pennsylvania ministers to somebody and they get healed? I don't care. Dr. Worrell used to say, I just want to see the baby. I just, you know, I don't care where you get healed. I don't care how the baby got here. I don't care how you were in your second trimester. I don't care if you're making out with an Asian. So they cast him out. They threw this man out. Man, that's awful. That's sad. And look at old Jesus. I'm old Jesus. I should. Look at, sorry, Lord. Look at Jesus. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Now, I don't know how he heard. I don't know where he heard, but it says he heard. He cared. You care. There's a concern here that's just so great on the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard. He heard that this guy had been cast out. And when he found him, you ever play hide and go seek? You're not it, and then you're the last one. And so you have to go what? You have to go find them. What does it take to find somebody? You got to look for him. It says Jesus found him. And he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And this man who was born blind, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. Oh, he'd never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, I believe. These parents were petrified. They were afraid. Fear, wherever we have it, and whenever we have it, in those areas, we can't believe God's word rightly because we're afraid. The parents were inhibited from testifying, as would have become fitting as good parents, but they were full of fear. Fear is enslaving. The world around us builds fear. We've been, you know, now it's, you know, one of the big world fears is the economy. Let me tell you something. That might be true in the world, but I don't see any starving people in here. Y'all look pretty dang good. You're housed. You have a place to live. You're healthy. You're God's masterpieces. See? Fear is enslaving. The world builds fear. And some people live on negative so long that when somebody comes around and shares the positives of God's word, they think you're nuts. Well, really? I watch football occasionally. Well, actually, whenever I can, but sometimes there's fellowships and stuff like that. You can't watch it. And, you know, you see these jackasses in, like, Buffalo. That's a cold place. Or New England. You know, and they have no shirts on. And they are wearing the T in Patriots. No shirts, and they're painted. And they're screaming. Ah, ah, ah.
and they are normal. Here we are. We say, hey, man, God loves you. You want to get born again? And they go, you're nuts. It's the same guy wearing the tee at the game. Remind him of that. Who's the idiot here, I might say? You or me? I'm happy. You're miserable. You go ahead and live your life. Have fun. The world around us builds fear. And one of the main, it's one of the main reasons we don't speak God's word. We're afraid of what people think. That could be the only thing that would make us a little nervous before we speak the word. What else could it be? Guess what? They don't know you. They have no idea who you are. So what in the Jesse James do you care about what they think of you? They don't know you anyway. No? Some of you younger people will go to a club occasionally. I know who you are. And you know, you know, you do this and you know, hey, oh yeah. Ooh. And you go, all this, and you're like, hey. Aaron's Asian friends, hey. It's good music, yeah. What are you doing later? I don't know. What are you doing later? I don't know. Let's have a drink, yeah. What'd you get for Christmas? You do it all the time. You do it all the time. We do it all the time. You see people, you talk to people, you converse with them. Why can't you? Hey, you could be righteous. I mean, what's the diff? I mean, really. Hey, how about some Alize? All right, Proverbs 29, enough about me. I mean, you do it. You act like jackasses all the time. So, I mean, you know, why don't you act like who you are? Just what Aaron taught. Who you are, you're righteous, redeemed, sanctified, justified, complete, all that stuff, man, that's who you are. And go dancing, go to a club. Hey-ya! They didn't have that kind of stuff when I was young. Did they? They did. No, I'm before disco, baby. Disco came. I went in the Wake Corps. That's the only reason I went in the Wake Corps. Stay away from disco. That's the only reason. I wrote Dr. Werrell, I don't want to be part of the disco nation. Can I go in the Wake Corps? He said, sure, son. Just kidding. Verse 25. Where am I? All right, stop yelling. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall what? Man, I want to be safe. I don't want to be in a snare. A snare is a trap. In order for a snare to really be a good snare, it has to have good bait, and it has to have good camouflage. And the fear of man brings a trap. It traps us. Being afraid of men trap us. It just traps us. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I want to be safe. People have said before that come to my home, our home, whoever was living here at the time, home, that they feel safe in our home. You know how much that blesses me? That our home could be a place that would help people feel safe. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Isaiah, go to Isaiah 8. I am so happy to be with you. It's such a joy. And we don't have to be afraid. Verse 12 says, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. God's word mentions different types of fear. But all of them are enslaving. All of them provide for us. All it does provide for us when we're afraid is cowardice. Just being afraid, being petrified. And
fear man, it said. And then it says, don't fear ye their fear. That would be like, you know, the world says, I don't know, I wished I knew more, but I don't know that much. But whatever the negative trend is out there, you know, another 4 years under Obama, you know, our country will then be China, which would make Aaron happy. You know, or something like that. You know, another, you know how the world does it. And, you know, if we had another 4 years of Obama, you know, our country is going to be worse and all that. And so people get all wound up. You know what? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the end of it. You don't need to fear the world's fears. If you hang around people that are fearful a lot, the tendency is you might become fearful also. So what we do when we're around people like that is we encourage them with God's word and tell them they don't have to fear. It's nice. Jeremiah 49. Isaiah, Jeremiah 49. 49. Two people came last night that got witnessed to yesterday. That's pretty cool. Now, one fellow had some wild hair. I think it was softer than Matt's over there. Oh. Did you guys touch his hair? No? First fellowship. I guess that'd be a little weird. Got to wait for second fellowship. Touch his hair. Verse chapter 49, verse 24. Damascus has waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. Fear hath seized on her. It's like a seizing of fear on someone. We've all been there. We've all experienced these different fears at different times in our lives. And the quicker we deal with them with God's word, the quicker we get delivered and not have that fear, and we have peace. It's kind of nice. Job. That's right before Psalms. Job or Job. That's a verse we always used to read, and for some reason we stopped reading it. I don't know why. It's a good one. Verse 25, it says, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of. Three, thank you. I love that you can speak so openly with me. Chapter 3, verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. In Job's case, the things that he was afraid of happened to him. So it's not really a good thing to be afraid. You know, let's just take that out of the equation. Let's just take it out of the equation. Take it out. Psalm 34. 34th Psalm. Where are Psalms? There it is. 34th Psalm, and in verse 4, God's word says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Well, there's a remedy. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He didn't hide from me. He heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. All my fears. Can you imagine? You ought to. Seek the Lord, and he'll deliver us from all our fears. 2 Timothy. We only got a couple more to go. Boy, you guys are really tired. You ain't even moving your pages, boy, I tell you. This is a slow. I'll wait. Take me a little nap up in here. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you imagine such a thing? Yes, do, please. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. The word fear there means cowardice. You remember the Wizard of Oz, the lion. You know, he needed courage. You know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But the spirit that he's given us power. Bless you. He's given us power. The same power that could remove a mountain, the same power that separated the seas, the same power that healed the blind man, the same power that healed the lame man at the temple, the same power, boy, it's just the same power to cast out spirits. That's what he's given us, not fear. And of love. and of a sound mind. What the world? I tell you, I don't know the amount of money in this world today, in our country especially, that's spent on psychologists and psychiatrists. It must be astronomical, because people's minds aren't sound, and they want sound minds. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, super duper natural power, and of love. There's nothing like love, man. It melts the hardest soul. It heals people so much. It just takes care of hearts like nothing else I know. The greatest of these is love. Remember that in Corinthians. Faith is pretty good. Charity and hope, the greatest of these is love. Outside of the written word of God, the love of God is perhaps the greatest healing reality there is. And then a sound mind, a whole mind, where you have control, we have control of what we think. A mind that isn't frustrated, that isn't anxious, a mind that isn't running around 1,000 miles an hour every second. A mind that's settled. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God did not give us fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So I think that's where we're going to stop. And it's a good place to stop. Don't be afraid. Don't have anything to be afraid of. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You are complete in him. All sufficiency in all things that we may abound. You know, you just go on. And you should. That helps your mind get whole. Going over these truths that are so powerful over and over again. I tend to like to hang out with people who believe God's word so that I can be encouraged, so that I can get help. And it's not necessary, it just happens because believers say the right thing at the right time. And when I played sports, I always played with people 2 or 3 years older than me. When I got in God's word, I always hung around with people who were more knowledgeable and more active in their service towards people than I was, because I wanted to learn how to do that. I still do. And the more you're around light, the more light you manifest. It just works that way. The more you're around love, the more loving you become. The more you're around people who are thankful, the more thankful we become. We don't need to be afraid. We have a love, power, and a sound mind. That's what we've got. So, Father, thank you for that truth that we have your power, your strength, your might, your love, the soundness of mind. Thank you, Father, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can live a life without any fear. Thank you for these wonderful people, for a great day ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.